PEZ Good Morning Show with Robin Mitchell and John Hendricks. And joining us, a candidate for our state legislature, House District 8, Lucas Schubert. Good morning.
Good morning, morning. Lucas.
Yeah. Good day. Thank you guys for having me on here.
Yeah. Oh, you bet. Glad to do it. First of all, congratulations on getting the endorsement of the Flathead County Central Committee.
Thank you. Yeah, it was good. It was a unanimous endorsement. And, you know, I'm glad to be the endorsed candidate. And hopefully that in the legislature, I can do some good stuff.
Okay. So you're not going to go to college. You're going to go to the legislature.
Well, so no. So I'm currently actually enrolled at FVCC. I'm taking classes there. I took a lot of dual enrollment classes in high school. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of extra credits. And that's part of why I'm doing this is because I do have some extra time that I already made up in high school that I can, now substitute in here. But, if I win, probably going to do some online school to finish up my degree. Yeah, okay. I'm going to be real busy.
I was going to ask you about your resume. Were you in student government?
No, I did speech and debate in high school. And aside from that, everything else has just been in, I've volunteered with the FCRCC and I'm volunteering on the Transportation Advisory Committee. And so, yeah, I like actually getting out in the community and doing stuff.
Okay. Well, if you're involved in speech and debate, you're certainly up to speed on all the issues.
Yeah, then that, that's the other thing. I mean, it's part of why I got into speech and debate is because I was so interested in, politics and history and the news. It's just fascinating in my opinion. So that's part of why I did speech and debate. But yeah, I mean, doing it, it gives a lot of room for practice, especially communicating, being able to articulate well. I think it's very useful, and I recommend it to anyone.
In debate, you are prepared to debate either side of the issue, right?
Correct.
Pro or con? Okay. How do they do that? A coin toss and you're off and rolling?
Yeah. So there was two types of debates that I did. One was the, it's called Lincoln Douglas, which is pretty much that, where they give you a statement, and then you either have to argue for or against it.
Okay.
And I also did do legislative debate, where you debate bills that you're given by the tournament organizers.
Yeah. So, well, you guys did really well as a debate team.
We did do well. We got we only got second place in both the years that I did it. So.
Oh shucks.
Yeah, but it was close. We were close. I was 2 points away from winning state for legislative debate.
Well, see, there's nothing wrong with being the underdog. Like Avis, we try harder. Yeah. That used their slogan for years.
Yeah, so, and that's kind of correlating into this race. Mm-hmm. I just checked the finance records. My opponent, he's raised a lot of money, more than me. But I'm in it to win it. I plan to put in the work, put in the hours, and I think we'll be able to take it.
Most of the people I talk to, and we talk to a lot of people who run for office, some successfully, some not successfully, but the one thing they all tell me, the part they hate the most is fundraising.
Yeah, that I don't like asking people for money either. I prefer just going out, hitting the doors, doing the work for the messaging, because, again, I'm doing a lot of my own stuff, because I don't have the money to hire that out. Mm-hmm. I like doing that, but yeah, you're right. Asking for money, especially from people is definitely the hardest part.
Yeah, my wife ran for state superintendent back in 1980, and she said she had to dedicate several hours a day just to working the phones, not just to to get more money, but to keep the money rolling in. And it was a part of her day she disliked the most. She's like you. She would love to get out there and shake hands with people and talk with them and listen and get some perspective.
Yeah, yeah. That is definitely it's the hardest part. But to some degree, you need to do it at least a little bit to have something to buy mailers, buy ads, all of that.
Yeah. Let's talk a bit about why you chose to run. What issues is it, or in particular, that made you feel like you had to get in there and mix it up?
So what I want to address in the legislature is three big things. One, I want to deal with the high property taxes. I want to cut property taxes. Secondly, and it's kind of related, is dealing with the overall cost of living. Here in the Valley, it's very high, very expensive. And I think there are some measures, it's not a thing that solely the state can deal with, because you have the Federal Reserve that changes these interest rates, and that has massive effects on the whole economy. But in terms of having some things the state can do, I believe there is, such as cutting, you know, taxes, fees, red tape in the housing sector. You know, when you reduce the price to produce or maintain something, you're going to reduce the price that it'll sell or rent for. And then dealing with it, what in my opinion is a very far left judiciary and not very transparent either. That's the other thing, is that in our state we have the nonpartisan judge elections. However, reality is, and I'm pretty sure people on either side, you know, with a lot of these federal courts would agree that a judge is going to have either a liberal or conservative bias, and voters aren't allowed to know unless they do. I mean, basically unless they're a political junkie and know, you know, research it massively, which most people don't.
So are you suggesting maybe that we should have partisan participation in the state Supreme Court?
You should have the option to file with a party, in my opinion, for a judicial election. Because like I said, again, every judge is going to have either a liberal or conservative bias. And, you know, I've talked to people who meant to vote for one judge and then they accidentally voted for the other because, you know, they expected it. Because on the ballot, it'll just say nonpartisan, nonpartisan, which means whoever has the most money, whoever can get their name ID out the most is going to win. Instead of actually looking at the ideas and why people support the candidates.
Well, let me just pose this to you then. In your race,
sure,
you and Tony Brockman, you are posing as a more conservative Republican than Tony.
Sure.
How do you tell the difference if all you have is an R or a D after your name?
Well, so yeah, and in the prime, and yeah, correct. Yeah. It's not an ideal thing, but like I said, I think at least in terms of the judge elections, because right now there's no differentiation even between, you know, very far left and very far right. It's both just nonpartisan, nonpartisan. And for the, for a state house race, again, you know, I agree. It's not the ideal thing necessarily, but you know, that's why I'm out here. That's why I'm here on the radio.
I talked with Pam Holmquist the other day about, she's on the task force that's working on the tax situation. And, you know, they're in the very early stages, but it is so incredibly complex. So incredibly complex that she says it's just enough to make your head explode. What ideas can you bring to the table to maybe do something? We're tapped out. Local people are tapped out. They can't pay anymore.
Yeah.
We want our schools to be top-notch. We want our public service, our public employees, our public safety people to be safe and have the tools they need. We want all these things, but, you know, we're willing to pay for it, but we can only pay so much.
Yeah.
What do you have any ideas on how we can attack that?
So I think that the solution in a lot of cases, especially now, is that since we had such a large surplus, you know, a lot of that money was given back in one-time payments, which means that money is probably going to be there again next session. So what I'd say is just decrease the rate. And the other thing is, you know, talking to a lot of people in the district, you go door to door, you hear stories all the time about people who've been forced to sell their property that they have lived in for decades because the taxes get too high. And so I think we need to address that so that people who've lived, you know, raised their children in a property, that they don't have to sell necessarily just because they're on a fixed income. And, you know, I think the solution to that is generally basing property taxes on purchase price, because, I mean, you know, just think of it, you know, at a house, you own a house and your neighbor pays double or triple for basically the exact same house. Why should you pay as much property taxes as they did? And so, you know, it 100% is a complex issue. And I think the details will have to be hammered out actually in Helena. You know, there's a lot of arguments for and against exact specific things, but I think generally speaking, we need to take action on this 100%. And, you know, another thing that's more of a, again, broadband, I guess, general thing is that we had the, you know, logging, mining, energy production industries in our state, they've declined so much and they used to be a large part of the tax base. Well, now residential property is filling that void. And obviously we need to have, you know, common sense practices when we're logging, when we're mining. And it has been done wrong in the past, 100%. But, you know, it's 2024 And if we can get these industries back, if we can get, you know, even firearms industries, I mean, they're big here. But yeah, I mean, mining, logging, energy production, if we can get those industries back real big, then they're going to be taking the tax base, larger percent of the tax base, and residential property will shrink.
Okay. What about the, help me understand what you mean by energy production. Where are we with that? I mean, we want to build more dams? Do you want to put up more windmills? What's your thoughts there?
Well, so my main thoughts with that is that what we're seeing, you know, in Colstrip is it's being closed down. You know, people say that by 2026, it may be closed to if these environmental regulations take effect. And we already saw it this winter that we started importing energy from out of state when it got real cold. And that massively increased the price, because when you're buying it on the open market as opposed to when it's produced in the state, that's going to increase the price a lot. I think, generally speaking, we need to, instead of using government mandates to force low reliability, high cost solutions, we need to allow the free market to. And, you know, again, obviously, you know, in 1800, the whatever, maybe, you know, maybe there was, if there's a large amount of fog, you know, if we start seeing massive amounts of smog show up here in the valley, then that might be cause for concern. But, you know, that's not the case. And so we need to have free market solutions in the energy sector.
You know, when I grew up here, and when I was your age, most any winter day, you could walk around outside and you could smell the sawdust burning at the sawdust mills around here. And I kind of miss that, but I also understand it's not very healthy either.
Yeah.
But one of the things you pointed out is the logging industry. And we certainly do need wood if we want to build more homes. The question I have is how the problem, let's just take the mill down in Seeley Lake that's just about to close. The problem's not logs. They got plenty of logs. They got enough logs to keep them going, you know, into the summer. So the problem, though, is housing. They have 100 employees, and these folks have been priced out of the housing market in Seeley Lake. So how are we going to fix that part of the problem if we're going to get these mills back?
Yeah, so that's another, like I said earlier, you know, that is one of my top priorities, is dealing with the high cost of housing, especially being Gen Z, you know, seeing these high prices, these high rates.
Yeah.
You know, it looks daunting to anyone who's not a current homeowner to try and get into the market. And yeah, so I think the solution to that is just simply reducing taxes, fees, and red tape in all facets of the housing sector. Because, you know, again, as I said earlier, when you reduce the price to produce something, you're going to reduce the price that it'll sell for at the end of the day. Another solution I see that could work is saying that if you don't live in this state and you're not a U.S. citizen, that you shouldn't be able to own land here. That, you know, that's another thing, because we're seeing people, you know, foreign entities come in and buy up tons of land, you know, and then they don't even live here, and that jacks the price up for the rest of us who do live here. So I think those are some of my solutions I'd support.
Let me be sure I understand what you just said there. You said people out of state coming in here?
Well, people who aren't U.S. citizens, I
okay,
think.
Okay, all yeah. right. Just because, make sure, I want to be clear on that.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, there's other things where it's like, okay, you know, maybe for, and again, the, you know, these are just spitball ideas that I'm coming up with here. But, you know, if you have a, if you live in a home that, you know, okay, that maybe gets a set in terms of property taxes that you'd pay lower if you actually live there. It's your primary residence. But yeah, I mean, no, I'm talking about guys like, you know, the Chinese Communist Party coming in here, buying up land like by the Air Force Base, or even housing. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine who says that there's some guy from South Africa who owns a dozen homes here, probably never even stepped foot in the state. You know, if he's not a U.S. citizen, why should you be able to come here and buy up our land, is what I'm saying.
We got a situation I'm aware of on the west shore of Flathead Lake, where some friends of ours have owned that property for decades, and her husband died, and so they're looking to sell that property. And the neighbors, somebody came in, I believe somebody from the East Coast came in, and bought up all three homes in that area. To your point, can we stop that? I mean, you know, these homes are not going to be anything but vacation rentals. We know that.
Sure. And like I said, you know, looking at something where if it's your primary residence, then you get taxed a little less. I mean, okay, that's, you know, that could be a reasonable thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, in terms of housing, the main solution is just to decrease taxes, decrease regulations and fees, because that is going to just decrease the price to produce. And when, like I said, when you decrease the price to produce, you're going to decrease the price of sale and the price to rent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, on the other side of that, when you decrease the fees and you decrease all of that, you're also taking money away from the county, the city, the state. How are they going to make that up?
You know, I mean, there's a wide variety of solutions. But like I said, I mean, there was a massive surplus last session. And so I think that that could account for some of it, but really addressing the housing issue is critical. So I think I think it's something worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the problem is once you decrease the fees, then the city needs to raise taxes to fund the departments. So it's like a dog chasing his tail. And I take your point that this is not an easy. There's no easy solutions to this.
Correct.
One of the things that nobody's willing to say it's time for a sales tax, but we're working with a two-legged stool here in this state. We've got property taxes and we've got income taxes. We have some of the lowest per capita income in the United States, and we tax it, and we keep taxing less of it. We have hundreds of billions of dollars coming into the state from out of state, and we don't tax a penny of it.
Sure.
Is there anything we can do to equalize that without bringing the S word into the game?
You know, I mean, there's a lot of solutions, and like you said, it's a very complex issue. So a lot of people are going to be coming up with ideas in the next legislative session for it. I think that dealing at least, you know, something with, you could say, for credit card fees for people that are, because, I mean, when you have a credit card, you can see, I mean, at least the machine can read, you know, where mm-hmm. they're from, something like an out-of-state, something like that. That could work.
Interesting.
But, you know, we got to look at the specifics, and mm-hmm. of course, half the time, you know, you try to do something, and then it gets struck down by the courts. Oh, that's unconstitutional. But we'll see, you know. Like I said, maybe something with credit card for mm-hmm. out-of-staters, have some type of tax on
that. That's interesting, because I thought if you could exclude the locals from it, that way you get the contribution to the highway use and so on and so forth. I'm all for not being taxed myself.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, again, with the rise of tourism, because decline in mining, decline in logging, and an increase in tourism, mm-hmm. that means, yeah, I mean, we got to take that into account when formalizing our tax code.
Well, we've had a lot of fun having a mini debate with you here. And you stuck with Robin and me really good. So congratulations on that. I'm going to give you a few minutes here just to have a free form of consciousness. You can say what you want, my friend.
All right. Well, you know what I'll say? I guess I will address the elephant in the room. You know, I'm running in a contested race. And, you know, there are some differences between me and my opponent. I think it really, you know, it's nothing personal. It's just a reality of vote. I disagree with some aspects of his voting record. And so, you know, let me take a step back, because, you know, initially you asked me why I'm running in this race. Well, first off, I'm running to address those issues 100%. You know, I want to do that. I want to actively pursue that agenda in the legislature. But on top of that, again, personally, I disagree with a lot of the stuff that my opponent has voted on. There was a bill last session that would allow people without verified citizenship to vote in our elections, and he voted for it. And that, you know, that's something that I don't think our Republican legislators should be supporting. And so that's part of why I'm in the race. You know, and then you read some of the stuff that a lot of the publications, news publications, have put out about the race, saying, oh, well, you know, my opponent had a 96% Republican voting record or whatever. And when you, well, first off, that statistic is from Montana Free Press, which is relatively liberal source. But on top of that, most bills, you know, most people don't know this, but they pass unanimously with Republican and Democrat support because they're just technical changes. They're just things that really don't have much disagreement. So a lot of bills, they pass unanimously. But when it comes down to the consequential stuff, there's a lot of differing opinions with me and my opponent. And so that's why I'm in the race. You know, because I think at this point in time, there are so many crucial issues in our county, in our state, and in our country from, you know, the far left coming into our state, from the high cost of housing, the high taxes as well, that we need to take action now. There's no time to sit around, you know, playing with our feet, just sort of be in there. We need guys in Helena who are going to 100% just take the action that needs to be taken on these issues. So I guess that's what I have to say. I mean, if you want to find out more about, I don't know if this is the end of the interview or, but okay. Well, yeah. I have a website, you know, www.lucasschubertmt.com. Lucas with a K and Schubert, S-C-H-U, like the composer. Yeah. My name, a little hard to spell, but so, I mean, if you want to check out my website and you just find out more about me, and feel free to reach out too, you know, give me a call, text, email sometime. I'd be glad to respond if you have any questions about me, anything else, or I guess that's it.
Yeah. You did great, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
well done.
I appreciate it. All right. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. Appreciate the conversation.